B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We cheer when they win. It when they don't.
Time has expired on the season for the Patriots.
And we do it together.
The quarterback is on fire, man.
We're Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ripped up the middle by the Bruins, all the way down. Holpe steers it far circle. Just skipped by Pasternak, far circle. He centers, and McAvoy's turnaround shot. The horn sounds. The Capitals knock off the Boston Bruins 2-1 in the final round robin game for both teams. The Boston Bruins will be the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they will open the first round of the playoffs against the Carolina Hurricanes.
So your thoughts on this and other items as the Reentry Monday brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank continues. Felger here in the remote A-hole chair. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. It's Felger and Maz brought to you by DraftKings. Tommy and Lynn, go ahead, Tommy.
Yes, Felger, Maz, and Murray. I think the Bruins are going to do good in the playoffs. I have no concerns about them at all. No concerns about them.
None.
They could beat Tampa and sweep them.
Okay, Tommy, thanks for the call.
What happened to this fan base?
I wouldn't say that guy is necessarily representative, though.
I would agree. But, Murray, it's the softening of America. It's like everyone's softer, even Bruins fans. But those of us who know the score know the score. Montreal's about to go on a run, and you're about to take the pipe, you know, in 5 games against the Carolina Panthers. Okay, so, like, we know it. We know it. Maz just texted me something. We were mentioning this earlier. The matchup problem that the Hurricanes present. They've got a really good, speedy first line. Sebastian Aho, who you should know, and is it Aho?
I like Aho better.
No,
of course.
Aho is how
I think he sits in the Aho chair.
It's pronounced Aho. But as far as I'm concerned, I like the guy. I think he's a good player,
and I always say,
yeah, I do. I like that Aho.
Okay, so Svechnikov, Aho, and Teravainen, they are speedy, scaly, better first line than yours, especially with the way you guys, the Bruins' first line has had a lack of production. Meanwhile, Zdeno Chara looks like he's skating in quicksand, even worse than usual. He's been, of all the guys with a slow start, he might have been the slowest of all. And if you watched that first goal last night, Maz, what did you equate it to?
I told you, he looked like an old guy who dropped his keys and was looking for him. Like, you know, trying to figure out where they were when someone just swoops right in under him and takes him away. I'm not trying to dump on the old guy, but that's what he looked like. It was like he was moving slow and just got it taken right away.
So what do you do? Your first D pair is McAvoy Chara. Do you put him up against that first line in Carolina? And I don't think there's any way that you can. I don't think you put Chara out there. You either have to switch up that pair or you've got to figure something else out. And Fudo Shinzawa in The Athletic, Maz, you just sent this to me, just wrote what?
I'm going to read you the lead, okay? This is what he writes right out of the gate. The black and gold defenseman with the long reach, shutdown mentality, reliable positioning, and necessary physicality will be critical in blunting Carolina's number one line during the first round of the NHL playoffs. In this case, it won't be Zdeno Chara. It will be Brandon Carlo. Like, that feels pretty definitive to me. That feels to me like Fluto asked, what are you going to do? And someone told him, no, we're going to go Carlo there. Carlo plays with Krug. And so maybe that's what the plan is. You brought this up. I had a hard time believing they would start with someone other than Chara there. But it sounds like, I mean, I trust Fluto on this stuff. He's pretty good on the X's and O's and the matchup and that stuff. And it feels to me like he asked that very question and was told, yeah, no, Carlo's going to get that assignment.
Huh. So all the lip service we're getting from the players and how they're acting is just a crock then? So that there is some concern, a little paranoia? Because if there was no big deal, then it would just be Chara on that top line.
I mean, another way to put this is they're demoting Chara.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're not benching him, but they're dropping Zdeno Chara.
Hmm. So now the question is, you know, would they have done that no matter what because of Chara's age and, you know, the way he's been, when I say deteriorating, fading.
The way he looks.
But that thing last night, that was horrid. That was horrid. It's like he didn't even know the puck was. I mean, he knew it was there, but the collecting the puck and trying to skate it back behind the net, he just couldn't move fast enough. He got absolutely undressed.
Nah, come on, Maz. I mean, these are just exhibition games. You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know hockey well enough. You don't know. You talk to us when the real games start. Don't worry about it.
I love it. Bob in Boston, you're up next with Felger, Maz, and Murray. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, guys. Thank you. No, I agree with the matchup with Carolina. I like it, too. But, I was just wondering on you guys' thoughts with maybe moving Pastrnak to the second line and moving Kasher up to the first line.
Okay,
I just want to see what you thought. Oh, and I think I just wanted to touch on, I think Clifton was in for Grizzlick the other night. I just didn't know if that made a difference or not. I don't think it did, but all right, thanks, guys.
Okay, sorry. Was it Grizzlick or Lozon?
No, he was in for Grizzlick. Grizzlick got a quote-unquote maintenance day, yeah.
Okay. What was I just going to say? Oh, dropping Pastrnak. Yes. So, again, last 15 playoff games, which includes these three here, that first line has two even strength goals. Marchand has none. Pastrnak has one. Bergeron has one. 0-9 in the power play, which I guess you're not going to tinker with the power play. But, I mean, the question is, I don't know, how much do you need to see before you try and jar it loose a little bit?
Well, and I always thought it'd be better off that way anyway. Because you spread it out a little bit, it makes them a little bit harder to defend. If you get a big physical team that can take out that first line, the Bruins are porked. Now you move Pastrnak down, you put him on the second line. Because I think Bergeron and Marchand can make anybody reasonably productive at that right wing position. I'm not saying you're going to get 50 goals like Pastrnak. But I bet you put a pretty good player there who has a clue, he's going to score. And, you know, it's not a bad idea. Kasha, put him there and drop Pastrnak. I like that idea.
To me, I think it's something they should do more often, but they're reluctant to, obviously. Harry in Boston. Go ahead, Harry.
Hi, yeah. One thing, Reimer's definitely not their starter. I think he started one game in the last series, so we're getting...
Bizarre.
Hurricanes defense should scare the heck out of you. They held this 15-game thing that you keep mentioning. The first four games came against the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference quarter.
You keep cutting out. Are you implying that the Carolina Hurricanes defense did a number on the Bruins in that series? That's not my recollection. No, I don't remember. So he's referring to was the first line shutout in that series? Did they even need the first? I don't know. I don't look at that series and say that was where this first line problem started. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just forgot it because it was such a forgettable series and a four-game sweep. I absolutely consider what happened against the Blues part of the problem. And so far, these three games, they're the most relevant. They're the most recent as well. So, I don't know. The Carolina, the goaltending doesn't scare me, whether it's Mazarek or Reimer, and the defense doesn't scare me, especially, hopefully, if Dougie Hamilton comes back, because I think you can exploit Dougie Hamilton.
So, Mike, I was just looking at it here right now, and that line had 14 points in the four games. Bergeron had 5, 3 goals, 2 assists. Marchand had 5, 2 and 3. And Pastrnak
had... So, what's he talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea. No idea. Now, I don't, maybe he's talking even strength, because, again, some of that came on the power play. But they were the
so my stat is even strength. So they've Marchand 0, Pastrnak 1, Bergeron 1, goals even strength last 15 playoff games. I'm getting that from Boston Sports Inf. So that's his number. I'm obviously not doing that research myself. Made me crazy. I'm just regurgitating it because it highlights their struggles, which I think have been real. How about Shane and Rhode Island? Go ahead, Shane. What do you got?
Felger, this Bruins team is sackless. This is absolutely pathetic. We've been waiting all this time, and you guys come out. You guys couldn't pull out one freaking win. This is absolutely the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my entire life with this Bruins team. Hey, I got an idea. Go get Jason Allison, because I guarantee you he can freaking put the puck in the net. Thanks, guys.
Okay. My entire life is a Bruins. You sound like you're 14.
Seriously.
So I don't know, but then... But then again, you know who Jason Allison is, so it's sort of hard to this will be a footnote. If they go out and play well and go on a run, we'll forget about this in 5 seconds and say, oh, yeah, remember when they just, you know, mailed in those preliminary games? They treated them like preseason games and wound up with the 4 seed. And we'll, you know, and we'll say, and we'll actually say they played it right, that they were smart to pace themselves and to stay healthy and to just try and tune up, treat these as tune-ups. We'll say they were smart. But if they fall on their face, if they fall on their face in this first round against Carolina, oh, we're going to hammer them with it. We're going to hammer them with it, as we should. It'll prove them to be the wrong approach. Eric's in Chelmsford. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. Listen, it's not the offense. I think in most cases the offense can probably score at will for the most part. It's defense, and it's Daniel Chara. This guy should have retired or should have been released 5 years ago. He can't skate himself out of a wet paper bag. You see it with some of the smaller wings that come up against him. They literally just kind of get inside of his wingspan and then skate circles around him, and then he falls over his feet and he lets up a goal.
So
the problem is defense. It's not offense. I think it's just it's defense, and they're not going to win these playoffs this year because their defense is not ready.
Okay, their defense has been putrid. Their defense has been putrid.
Awful.
And it's been a whole thing, too, where it's been sort of like bad line changes or getting, giveaways, letting guys get behind you. I mean, yesterday, Char gets his pocket picked on the first one. And the second one, it was either a bad line change or a couple of guys fell asleep getting back because, what's-his-face there, Wilson.
Yeah, blew right by him. It was McAvoy and Nordstrom, I think, who were left in pursuit.
Right, and just got in there because those guys got on late or were sort of sleepwalking or something. There's been a bunch of goals like that. That's been their problem, and Chara has sucked. Chara has sucked. Carlo has not been much better, and that's been their biggest issue, and it should be your biggest concern. 100%. But you're overstating it about Chara. When he's right, he's a valuable guy out there. He's a valuable guy in the penalty kill. He's a valuable guy with his reach. He's a valuable guy with his leadership. I mean, I'm sorry. What he did last year, playing with that broken jaw in Game 7 should have been legendary. Should have put him in the Pantheon if they didn't absolutely puke all over themselves in that Game 7. So I want him out there. I want him on the team. He's value add. I just don't know if I want him out there against Aho and those guys on that first line. That's just a bad matchup.
I mean, the other thing I wonder, and I'd have to go back and look, wasn't there something about Chara needing time to get cranked up when he took time off? Like, you know, and I wonder, maybe that's a factor here, right? The guy is, what, 41? What, 42? Whatever the hell he is? You know, like you take 4 months off, now all of a sudden you get it cranked up. Everybody's moving at warp speed, and he looks like his feet are in cement.
Here's our buddy Wayne in Grafton with the Bruins thought. Go ahead, Wayne.
It's all part of a master plan. Tuca's going to lead the way, and we're going to blast through everything. I mean, I see Tuca in his interviews. He doesn't seem to be concerned at all. He's too busy on the boat drinking beers and stuff like that. And your buddy Cam Newton, there's nothing wrong with his hard drive. He's got 7 kids. Peace out.
All right. Well, good one, Wayne. The Rask thing, too. You know, this is one we'll be able to look back and say, this guy's either sly like a fox or he really doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
Because the whole way he's carried himself, Murray, this entire time is, I don't give a crap.
Guess I should start skating, huh, guys? Yeah. Yeah, you know, these are exhibition games. Talk to me when the real games start. Come on.
And so, again, if he goes out and lights it up and leads him on a deep run, you look back and say, Tuca knows who he is. We're just a bunch of reactionary a-holes, ahos, as you will. And, we're wrong, he's right. And, you know, but if he falls on his face, we're going to look back and say, maybe if you just dialed it in just a little bit more and gave a little bit more of a crap, you might have given yourself a better chance here.
Oh, yeah. No, I will gladly accept that blind, a blanami, if you will, if they end up being proven right. But remember, there's a flip side to that, too, because if they go and crap their pants against this Carolina team, oh, you better be ready. Get your raincoats, people.
It's like, maybe you should have given just 2 poops instead of 1. Just give a second little poop about this thing and put yourself in a better position. That'll be an easy second guess. Continue with your Bruins thoughts, Celtics thoughts at 617-779-0985. The latest on the return of football, college or otherwise, right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have major developing news this morning as the plug may be pulled on the fall college football season. At some point soon, more discussions being held today after the commissioners of the Power Five conferences held an emergency meeting yesterday to discuss the possibility of canceling or postponing the fall sports season. We've been talking about it a lot this morning, and Adam Schefter, our NFL insider extraordinaire, has something that I think NFL fans, all sports fans, will find a very interesting part of this story. Schefty, go.
Well, Green, I think the NFL is sitting back and waiting to see how this all unfolds in college football. I think there has been some thought given to the idea that if college football goes away, and nobody wants that to happen, but if it does, the NFL then, after I think baseball wraps up in late October and the NBA in mid-October and hockey in early October and the presidential election, there would be a span there where there would be nothing else on the sports calendar but the NFL. The NFL already controls the sports calendar, but it's possible it could move even more games to Saturday.
So that's Schefter talking about if college football does shut down, which there's rumblings, Big Ten reportedly is shutting down. But then there's conflicting reports on if all teams are going to shut it down or a few may break off and still keep playing. And nothing's been confirmed there. But if college football shuts down, the NFL will go to a Saturday slate, Saturday and Sunday. They'll fill both. Murray, you have something?
Yeah, and there's a further update here by Pat Ford. Is it Ford or 40 who used to work for Sports Illustrated? Either way, covers college football. He tweeted just minutes ago, sources say that ACC athletic directors met today. They are moving forward in an attempt to play. In the words of one staffer, league presidents could be meeting today as well.
Okay, so, but if there is a void on Saturday, going to NFL games on Saturday, how do you feel about that?
I don't like it. I still don't even really like the Thursday night slate all that much. I like it on Sundays, Sunday nights, Monday nights. That's it. It's just, it feels like too much. I actually do like college football, so I would miss that on Saturdays. I just don't need it. I like it occasionally when you get it for a couple of weekends, occasionally in December. It doesn't happen as much, but sometimes it happens because of where Christmas falls and all that kind of crap. But now it would be starting on Saturdays, maybe a Friday night game. Like, no thanks. It would just feel like, oh, it would feel like overkill.
I mean, I'd take it. I'm all right with that. Like, you know, I like it late in the year when, you know, now I get a game on Saturday or a couple games on Saturday and then the regular Sunday schedule. I have no problem with it at all. I won't miss college football all that much. Now, what I will miss is how it relates to the NFL. You know, the who's going to be the number one pick, who are the best players, the whole quarterback angle. Like, I'd miss that. So that's how my connection to college is football is through the NFL. But if the games aren't on Saturday and there are NFL games on in place, I'm okay with that.
No, I'm not. I want it. I want college football, even if I'm not the biggest college football fan. I don't invest really. I will watch my team, the Badgers, till they lose, and then, you know, I'm very casual about it even after that. But it's nice to have on, Maz. Don't you have it on? Do your kids watch it? It's, you pass a bar, you're in a restaurant, and there's a big college football game on. You may not really care about it yourself, but it's on. It's part of the – it's just, if you're sporty, don't you want that thing there?
And yeah, so, well, yeah, sure. Again, if it's a big game, of course I'll tune in. I mean, you know, but most of those games are at the end of the year, the Iron Bowl, the conference playoff games and those. So, you know, I'll take them at the end. But during the week, am I going to watch Notre Dame play, you know, Illinois or whoever? No.
So this year, and Maz, you can take your tuba and shove it up your keister, because this year – Notre Dame was going to play Wisconsin at Lambeau.
Oh.
Yeah, suck on it. That's a good take. You know, that's a good take, and you know it's a good take, and you just want to be sarcastic about it. That's a cool game. Whether you are personally invested in it or not, that's a cool game, and that's gone.
Yeah, no, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, that was on my bucket list.
Oh, such a prick. So to me, like, not that I'm watching all those games, but the Saturday, the feel of college football on a Saturday, I'll take. Again, just the ambient sort of feeling of it. And, you know, if you like to gamble, I mean, you're not afraid to place the occasional bet, Anthony. So, like, there's, you know, there's good betting opportunities in college football. I'm going to miss the whole thing.
Well, look, again, I told you, I like the whole idea of it being there. But I personally will not miss it. And if there are NFL games on in its place, I'm far more likely to watch. That's all I'm telling you. I'm trying to be honest about it.
And I would expect nothing less. I'm just telling you also that the more days they spread out to on the NFL, that's when I feel the product gets diluted. We've talked a lot about this, about 17 games, 18 games, expanded playoffs. I don't feel that dilutes the product. To me, what dilutes the product is Thursday night. Which has even gotten better, frankly. You know, they've sort of...
Well, they've had a better slate. They've put better games on.
Yeah, okay, and I think maybe the players are a little more used to it. I just think the overall quality of that product has improved, where it used to be a freaking throwaway joke. But I still think, like, as Murray just said, that's when I feel I get oversaturated with the NFL. Thursday night, then at the end of the year, Saturday games, then Sunday night, then Monday night. It's like, you know, that to me feels... And now you're taking up 4 or 5 nights of the week. That, to me, is when I start to get too much NFL football. There is only so much Houston-Cleveland I can watch.
Okay, but Mike, again, I'm trying to keep this all within the context of the pandemic here. Remember that typically when you get to October, November, you have baseball playoffs, but the NBA and the NHL are coming back and all this stuff's going on. This year in the fall, you're not going to have that. When these leagues are done, they're not coming back till December. Like, there's going to be a hole there in the middle, and we're going to need some games. And so I'll take NFL games on an extra day during the week. I'll take that.
Yeah, you're okay. Just asking to get divorced. Like another, oh, can't do that tonight, honey. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. I got news for you, Murray. The restaurants aren't going to open as much as people think they are. We're all going to be cooped up in the houses again.
Let me ask you another one. Should college football play in the fall?
Yes, I think so, yes.
I say no. I just think that, so I think the whole college thing's a little different, and I know it's a complete sham. Okay, it's a charade. We all know that it's not really about the kids and the sports. But at the end of the day, they are still students, and they are still, quote-unquote, amateurs. And so I just think it introduces a whole different reality to it. These are not yet, anyway, professionals being paid millions upon millions of dollars, as much as the schools are making off it. And so I don't know how you play football but don't have kids on campus for class. So to me, if you're not going to have students on campus, you don't play football. It's that simple.
Yeah, but in some of these schools are still letting, as of right now, they're letting the students go back, and they are going to have them in classes. So athletes can also be on campus going to classes in person with other students, but then they can't play football for that respective school. Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, but there are a lot of schools that are going to do something different where there'll still be sports, but there won't be games. I know that sounds stupid. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there either. I'm just telling you that, honestly, I don't think it's going to matter. I think it's all going to get shut down in the fall anyway.
And so I'm at a point where I just don't think it's going to matter. It doesn't matter anyway. Like, we've screwed this up with the laughingstock of the world, and, you know, this shouldn't be punishment because, you know, idiots initially were like, well, I'm not wearing the mask. You're not telling me what to do. Like, we've screwed it up too far anyway. So let's just not give up just for giving up sake. Like, well, it's too late. Well, it's too late. Play football.
I mean, I feel less strongly about the colleges coming back than I did with the pros. And maybe that's because I grew up here and, you know, I'm a pro sports fan. But I also think that, you know, there's an employee-employer kind of thing going on. There is, nope, we're going to go to work. We're going to play. We're going to do what we do to the best of our ability until someone tells us we can't. And that, like, I sort of believe in that part of it. And I just, to me, the college thing's not quite the same. It's just not. And
all right.
That's all.
Okay, your thoughts on this story out there, and one more segment of your wonderful phone calls, and we'll hit quickly on the NHL draft lottery tonight, which is setting up to be a disaster. It's setting up to be a disaster. We will discuss after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
And just a reminder that Reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Mark.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Jimmy's computer is down. He would have played cut from the NHL Network talking about the upcoming NHL draft lottery, which is coming your way in about 21 minutes. They're going to pick the number one overall pick in the draft. And again, I'm not going to go back into all the permutations because it'll give you a popsicle headache, but the way they got these teams to agree to the return to play format was they had to give the teams that were out of the top eight, who they wanted to have in play a bubble round, the opportunity to still have the first overall pick. And if they were going to give those teams still the opportunity to have the first overall pick or a high lottery pick, then they had to give the teams that lost to them the same opportunity. So what they determined was that the losers, so first they did a whole drawing where they had placeholder picks, if you will. And of course the placeholder pick won the first overall pick, which meant that the eight losers in the preliminary round would each get an equal shot at the first overall pick. So Pittsburgh, which finished fifth in the Eastern Conference, which had the seventh best record in all of hockey, which just won two straight cups, was it 3-4 years ago, have a 1-in-8 chance of winning the first overall pick tonight. As does Edmonton, which just, you know, recently took Connor McDavid first overall, has had a raft of first overall picks in the last decade plus, has been drafting first for, yeah, it feels like every other year for our entire generation. They have a chance. And, oh, by the way, they finished fifth in the Western Conference. These teams have a chance to win the first overall pick. Meanwhile, true dogs, the dogs of the dogs, teams like Detroit and Ottawa, and who was the last place? Who was the dog in the West? There's some just dogs of dogs. Are out of the running for the first overall pick. So I'm just telling you, Maz, if the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, win that first overall pick, or the Edmonton Oilers win that first overall pick, or even Toronto. Toronto is now in that lottery. Toronto, which was on pace for, I think, 100 points, was a clear, easy playoff team by far. They were clear of the playoffs by a million points. There was no doubt they were going to make the playoffs. The Toronto Maple Leafs could win the first overall pick just a couple of years after getting Austin Matthews. If one of those teams wins at Maz, people are going
to
howl.
Oh, with good reason. To me, this is where the NHL botched it more than anything. So we can talk all we want, like about the Bruins getting jobbed with the round robin format and the seeding format and all of that, which is fine. Okay, but to me, that was a no-win situation. The idea, though, of giving good teams a crack at the top pick, to me, is asinine. It defeats the whole purpose of, you know, rewarding bad teams with the highest pick so that, in theory, you're promoting parity. There should have been some sort of mechanism in there that said if you're a team that's in the playoffs and you have to play in that play-in round, like Pittsburgh, you're the number five seed, and then you lose, the best you can do is the number four pick. You'll still end up way higher than you would have been, but we're not going to give you number one. And now they have a crack at it, along with the others that you mentioned. I think, to me, this is the worst part of the whole thing, easily.
Yeah, there's two teams I would specifically lose my mind if they win this, and that's Pittsburgh and then Toronto. Toronto, like you say, they get Matthews a few years ago. They have Tavares, they have Mitch Marner, and they win this thing, and they have another elite offensive player based on what you read about this Lafreniere, Alexis Lafreniere. They add him to that team. Like, give me a break. If you're Detroit, too, who completely got screwed in this type of thing, you'd be like, oh, I want to secede from the league.
I mean, really, like, you know, the whole idea is that if you suck for the whole season, you're that bad, you get a high pick. Now you suck for a week, not even, and you get a chance at the top pick. Like, that, to me, that's insane. Just because you sucked for a week?
And on the flip side, you know, if you look at it now, a team like Montreal, 12th place in the Eastern Conference, they're advancing to the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Chicago Blackhawks, well out of the playoffs, no shot of it, you know, pre-pandemic, they're advancing. And so, you know, in one respect, the chaos is good. People are pissed. But by another respect, you say, Jesus, you know, especially that first overall pick thing. Those are franchise-altering, you know, sort of generational kind of developments. And if that pick lands in the lap of the Pittsburgh Penguins, that's going to be kind of gross. Sorry, that's going to be kind of gross.
Oh, disgrace. And again, you know, someone texted me this, so I don't want to pass it off as my own. But Pittsburgh, obviously, with Crosby and Malkin, two of the best players in the league. Edmonton's another one. They got two of the best young players in the league between Draisaitl and McDavid.
Yep.
That's another one. And Murray went over the Toronto roster. You look at that and you see that's asinine. Like, that is completely asinine. And the dogs in the West, you were talking about San Jose, I think, is like the worst team in the league, right? So, like, that's a team that needs help. They had an old roster, you know, and meanwhile, you're gonna drop a talent like that on one of the teams that's already making the playoffs every year? Oh, it's ridiculous.
Okay, they're going to draw it in about 15 minutes. Maz will get you updated. He's doing the baseball reporters tonight, but I'm sure he'll let you know who wins that pick when it happens. Let's wrap it up with all your phone calls here. Let's zip through these if we could. Marcel and Moonsocket on the Bruins. Go ahead, Marcel.
Hey, Mike. What's going on, guys? Listen, finally, Chara's burnt up front as a liability. He's been a liability for 4 years.
It's not true.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the Statue of Liberty's got nothing on this guy. It's unbelievable. Everybody skates around him like you listen. They can't headman the puck up the ice. He disrupts the continuity of the offense coming up because he can't skate up the ice with it. He throws the puck around. He's turned into a goon.
He's not a goon. He's not a goon. I love it when he fights. When Chara fights, it means business. I love it when he fights. And all the things you're saying is just overstated. It's just overstated. He's value add to the team. But against some of these smaller, shiftier lineups of which Carolina has, he's can be a liability. And as Fluto was writing today, maybe they may switch up that lineup because of it. Jerry in Rhode Island on the Bruins. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's been a while. Football as well. I just had a quick question I wanted to pose to you regarding the Bruins, as we're all frustrated watching these quote-unquote preseason games. We've seen preseason games before, and they've had much better compete level, and they've actually won some. And I'm just wondering your thoughts, and this may be out there, but I'm just trying to think of what other reason besides family and fans not being a part of the bubble is causing this. Is it Pasternak and Kasha? Did it piss players off? Is
no.
The internal situation not as tight anymore? Because you know, when the break hit, they were skating to
Jerry. Jerry, let me stop you. For whatever reason, they decided in June that they were going to treat these as tune-ups. Cassidy's on record as saying it. I think Neely is on record as saying it. The players sort of followed along from the jump, from when they announced this format, and the Bruins realized they would have to play for that first overall seed. For whatever reason, they determined they were going to treat these as tune-ups. So that's what they've done. And here we are with the 4 seed after a week of horrible hockey and everyone wondering whether they can flip a switch. And for whatever, they decided to do it. And they'll be held account, meaning if they don't turn around in this first round, we're going to go back and say that was the wrong approach. Kevin in the car on the NFL season and the college football season. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I could take it or leave it with Saturday football. I don't really care. But one thing I was thinking, I mean, it just seems like kind of a disincentive because over the past couple of years, it seems like they're modality has been kind of streaming and NFL Network, people purchasing that, especially fantasy football watchers. And those are all going to be nationally televised games now on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. It seems like that leaves little room for those games that people are paying for.
So I never really factored that. So what, if you open up more Saturday games, there's less exclusive stuff for Yahoo? I don't know if that – I don't quite get it. Yahoo has like a couple British games a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know.
Well, what I mean, you know, what about the DirecTV part of it, right?
Like, so I see. Right. Definitely that devalues the DirecTV thing.
Right? Cuz I mean, you can get every game in the league with DirecTV and now you may not need it. And so, you know, I don't know. It's a good question. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. Maybe they don't want too many games on free TV.
Barry in Maine, you're up next with Felger Mass. Go ahead. Okay, Barry,
yeah,
you're not quite ready to go. Sorry, calls back. Got to be ready to roll, my man. We move quick on this program. Joe in Duxbury on the NHL draft. Go.
Yeah, so you were saying that the Maple Leafs were
clear for the playoffs, and they're only actually 2 points ahead of the Panthers for the division and then 1 point ahead of the Blue Jackets. So I was just wondering where you got that from.
My ass. So I guess I was wrong about that. I thought Toronto was more firmly... I thought Toronto was more firmly in the playoff mix. I thought they were in the playoffs basically all year.
Well, regardless, for a team that has close to $34 million tied up for three players who are all studs in Matthews, Marner, and Tavares, you don't deserve to get the number one pick.
Totally.
No. I mean, if you're so fine, there were six, seven, or eight seed if you were seeding, you know, the conference. Those are not lottery teams. Those are not teams that normally have that pick. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I thought Toronto was pretty much... I thought in that top three in the division all season long, and we're pretty much a playoff team all season long. Those are not typically lottery teams. I'll stand by it, whether they were totally clear or not. We've got Alan in Florida on college football. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, Maz, I'm just curious. Do you know what the second most popular sport is in this country?
College football?
Of course. Absolutely.
What about in New England?
Well, I grew up in New England my whole life. If you wouldn't want to watch Wisconsin play Notre Dame on a Saturday and you'd rather watch Seattle Seahawks, then, you know, good luck to you.
That's
right,
Alan. I
think college football is fantastic, and I grew up in New England.
Attaboy. Badgers fighting Irish at Lambeau. If you can't take your pants off for that, Maz. You're not a sports fan.
No, I must not be a sports fan.
Maz,
then, right?
One other quick thing on a different subject.
Oh, tell me, Alan. Go.
Mookie's struggling in L.A., isn't he? That Mookie's struggling like heck in L.A. Poor guy. He's just struggling away.
Whoever said he was going to struggle?
Is he struggling or is he being sarcastic?
No, he's playing well. Yeah, he's playing well. But whoever said he was going to struggle? Did anyone say he was going to struggle? Or like, are we gonna make a judgment now on year 13 of his contract when he's 13 games into his Dodgers career? I mean, what the hell point? What does that mean?
So he's blowing you.
Yeah, I guess.
I bet.
I guess.
It's basically no big deal that he left and he's overrated and he's just going to end up like Andrew McCutchen.
Exactly.
Four homers, 10 RBI. Mookie's off to a good start, playing good defense. He's hitting .281. But that's all right.
All right, more of that good time on the Baseball Reporters, which comes your way at 6 o'clock. Coming up next will be the final word.
Cover Bears. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, Maz.
Nobody.
All right, the one piece of sound we have the final word today was from something earlier when it came to the Celtics. Everyone pumped about the Celtics, the big win over Toronto, the OT win over Orlando yesterday. Looks like they could go deep in the bubble when the NBA playoffs start up. But there's one thing that that Felger certainly doesn't want to hear about when it comes to the Celtics. That is draft picks, specifically the Memphis pick. Yeah, they got. What should they do against the Grizzlies? Go ahead, Jimmy. I don't know what's going on here.
Fire!
What's happened here?
Oh, we locked up?
This piece of garbage.
Oh.
Hold on, let's try it now.
Okay, try
it. We've got Greg and Lincoln on the Celts. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. I don't know if the average fan really realizes the importance of the next game against the Grizzlies. You know, if this team wins, they could get upwards of a fifth-round pick from the Grizzlies. And, you know, I don't know if you have B-Rob in the closet or Jay Stewart could speak to this, but they can really make out here. But the thing is, I don't think they're actually going to win. Because the Grizzlies are a lot like the Celtics. They're deep and they're talented, but they just don't have a lot of big men, and they struggle against teams with big men, which is why they won't go very far.
Greg, thank you for the call. I don't mean to yell at you, but I'm going to. Oh, the effing draft picks, man. What are you with the
What's more likely to happen? It's going to be an impact player God. That they draft or someone that is stashed in Maine. Oh, the greatest God. G League team ever.
Stiff.
It's over! The draft pick thing's over! It's over! It's over! It's over! Correct me if I'm wrong. They have John Morant, right?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So how are they going to be a deep lottery team? They're good. They got good young players, right?
Good point.
Wait, stop with the draft picks! Oh my God, why do they... The Celtics fans are unbelievable with the draft picks! So you can stash another player in Maine? It's not going to convey. It's not going to come. It's over. The draft picks are over. You have Tatum. You have Brown. You got Smart from all those picks. You did great. It's all over. It's done. What's it with the draft? Why are they so obsessed with the freaking draft pick, Maz?
Well, you know, because it's a scratch ticket. That's God. Why. And there's always the chance there's 50K under one of those little silver okay. blocks. Right. That's what it is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, that is what it is. Now, look, that said... Not to like dump on the bit, but the I actually think there's some merit to it. If you're the Celtics, you'd rather keep Memphis out. Give them a chance to get in the top six and then take the shot. Take the shot that next year you get an unprotected pick. What if John Morant blows out his knee, ruptures an Achilles, has a hernia? I don't know. Whatever it is, just the whole idea. Yeah, then you have a crack at it. At the very least, I'll take the crack. I don't want the 15th pick. What are you going to do with that?
No, it'll just be another player if they stash up in Maine. It'll be another, like, Abdel Nader or someone like that.
You're going to draft another Kelly Olynyk?
Yeah.
Or Time Lord?
Yeah.
You need another Time Lord? Like, you need two of him? Oh, God, please. Like, again, try to hit the home run. I'd rather the pick get passed on to next year and then it's unprotected. That would be the better way to go. Point is, the Celtics can still win the game.
What's doing in the baseball reporters, Maz?
Okay, so we have we got to catch up on the Red Sox over the weekend. I said this on Thursday, Murray. You were out at the end of the week.
Yep.
So I'm going to repeat it because I want you to tell me whether I'm full of crap. When I said earlier that I thought the Red Sox season was over, I neglected to realize something that's going to keep them in it. It is. It's going to keep them in it. So I'll tell you what that is. And also, really, there was one standout performer this weekend at Fenway Park. If you ask me, we'll talk about him. And we'll talk about the player he most affects with his play. We will also talk about the happening between the Oakland A's and Houston Astros, if you missed that. Also, Rafael Devers out of the lineup tonight has an injury. We will we'll tell you what Ron Renicki said about him, and we'll get you caught up on all of the goings-on with the Red Sox. That is coming up next. After Murray, get you caught up here on Headlines. Don't go anywhere. Baseball Reporters is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.